Yeah, well, this is indeed the fourth and final look at Proverbs. There's so much we've not been able to look at, but maybe on another occasion we can do further looks at Proverbs. But this lunchtime, we're going to look at the subject of friends, because one vital ingredient for wise living that Proverbs introduces us to is to ask the question, who is influencing us in our lives? Who are the people we allow to mould us, to inspire us, to shape us, who have a say about who we're becoming? And this is what the book of Proverbs calls friendship. Our friends are those people who are shaping our lives, who have a say, who we allow to have a say in what we are becoming. So what I'm not talking about is the kind of friendship that I have with the person who was my best man. I met my best man many years before I was married. His name was James, when I was at nursery school. But we've never really kind of rubbed shoulders together for very long, for many years at a time. We sort of dipped in and dipped out of each other's lives. So he's never been an influence on shaping me, and I've never been an influence on shaping him. But we're still, in using the English word, good friends. But that's not what Proverbs is talking about in this context. Talk about people who shape us, who we allow to come into our sphere of people who influence us. And so the first thing that Proverbs says about this kind of friendship, people who influence us, is be cautious. Look at chapter 12, verse 26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Cautious because a righteous person is concerned with staying righteous. A righteous person looks ahead and thinks, if this person becomes a close friend of mine, where am I going? What influence will they have upon me? Wisdom is about looking ahead, and a person who wants to stay righteous will think ahead and says, if I get to know this person, or this person becomes an influence on me, where am I going with it? This isn't pride or self-righteousness, but a sober realization that a wrong friendship can lead us astray. Look at the last part of that verse. The way of the wicked leads them astray. A wrong influence can lead us in a wrong direction. So this is wisdom, looking ahead, when we think about people who influence us. So be cautious. And also be cautious about just having many acquaintances. Look at chapter 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We don't want just superficial relationships, because when things get sticky, when things really get bad, they'll just melt away. But there is a kind of friend who'll stick closer than a brother, who'll be close as if we have a family tie with them. And that's the kind of friend we want. So if you just have superficial acquaintances, there'll come a day where they'll just melt away. That's the warning of Proverbs. And be cautious who you do walk through life with. Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Much the same sort of theme, isn't it? But the wise will help you grow in wisdom. A fool will lead you towards foolishness. What we need are wise friends who we can walk through life with. And God's world is not a place for us to walk alone. Whether we're single or married, whatever our life situation is, we need people to walk with us through life. I mean, that's how God's made us. That's how God's made the world. We need to walk with people we trust and who love us and who we love. But be discerning. Be cautious. Also, Proverbs says, be discerning, be cautious about people who bring conflict and who are gossips. Look at chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. If you let a gossip or someone who produces conflict all the time, who always brings needle, if you allow them to influence you, you too will get caught up in their gossip. You too will get caught up in their strife and cause of dissension. Either you'll get implicated in it or you'll become a victim. We all know people, don't we, who do gossip, who always seem to bring needle into relationships, people who make comments. You've met them, you know them. Maybe you work with them. Well, don't let them influence you, and make sure that you're not one of them. By implication, there's a flip side to this. Yes, don't make friends with a gossip or somebody who brings conflict, but don't be somebody who does that as well. Just think about your impact on other people as well. We mustn't be gossips. We mustn't be destructive, because it is destructive. Gossip separates close friends. Rumour, counter-rumour, have nothing to do with people who do that, and have nothing to do with it ourselves. So be cautious about gossips and people who bring conflict. Also, be cautious about angry people. Look at chapter 22, verse 24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. The truth is this, that if you let someone who's hot-tempered influence you, you're much more likely to be influenced by them than you change them. That's the point. You'll either become a victim of their anger, or you'll be known as somebody of anger. Not because of you, but because you are allowing them to influence you. You'll be known as someone who's close, someone who's hot-tempered, hot-headed. So learn. Yes, learn. But don't learn their ways, and don't get yourself ensnared. Verse 25. It's very easy to be led that way. So Proverbs warns us to be cautious about the people who shape us and mold us. So make friends. We do need people who are going to stick with us as close as a brother, even closer than a brother, through this life. But do not make friends with people who are easily angered, who are gossips, who divide, who bring dissension. Do not make friends with people who are foolish people. Not saying we don't love them, but don't let people influence us in those directions. And that is by implication, we too must not be people like that. If we know that we're sometimes hot-tempered, we must ask God to change us. If we know we're prone to gossip, we must stop. If we know that we're somebody who introduces conflict into a situation, we must not do that. So be cautious, says Proverbs. But also Proverbs then also gives us elements of what a good friendship should be. What are the elements of a good friendship that we need to walk through this life, to walk through God's world together, and to live and to be shaped into a positive and godly way? Well, the first thing is consistency. A good friendship is consistent and will not fade away. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In times of trouble, a good friend will be with you. Because a good friend will know all about us, but still love us. They'll know us warts and all. Isn't it lovely to be known by somebody who loves us, even though they know all the little things about us that, in fact, well, we know about ourselves and sometimes are disappointed about? But it's great to have somebody who can walk with us, and they know us that well. And a brother is born for adversity. The meaning may well be there that a good friend is like a brother. A good friend is like a brother. It's going back to chapter 18, verse 24, really. There's a sense in which a friend can be as close as someone with a family tie. And to know that somebody will stick with us, whatever, is a very strengthening thing. And the flip side is, of course, that we must be a constant friend as well. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. And do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. We've got to be constant friends ourselves. Not just about receiving, but it's about the kind of friendship we give others as well. Who are the people who think they can depend on you? Can they? Who are the people who will think, well, they'll never forsake me? And I love that phrase, do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. Old family ties. Who are the people who just assume they can pick up the phone and depend on you? Well, can they? Can they depend on you? And that phrase there, do not go to your brother's house, it's not disparaging family houses, by the way, and going off to the family, but it was really sort of showing how much a good friend is, because the meaning there is, do not even go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. There's no need to if you've got a good friend. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. And it's just worth saying that in the Hebrew, the word for friend and neighbor is the same word, ria. And then the reason why that sometimes it's neighbor, sometimes it's friend, is because the context dictates about which should be translated. And it should really there be a friend. Better a friend nearby than a brother far away, if you've got a good friend. So be a good friend, but the great foundational plank for a good friendship is constancy, a hallmark of a good, wise friendship. And the second hallmark is honesty. With the security of a constant friendship comes honesty. Who's going to say the hard things about us or to us that we need to hear? Our close friends. Look at chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You see, a love that conceals what needs to be said, it is not love at all, really. It's no good at all. Who's going to tell us about our behavior, or maybe about our selfishness, or hold us to account? Well, not all the time, of course, but just when things need to be said. Has anybody who's a close friend of yours ever sat you down and just said, look, you just need to hear this? Because that can be very loving at the right time. Very loving indeed. And the wounds are bearable because they are loving. Look, wounds from a friend can be trusted. They're trusted wounds because they come from a friend. But look, an enemy multiplies kisses. Sometimes an enemy just glosses over things to get deeper. Do you remember, of course, Judas's kiss of Jesus? An enemy looks so loving, but in fact was betrayal. A good friend will say what we need to hear. And Proverbs has a lot to say about being able to accept correction, whether you're someone who can take correction from a friend. Let me just give you one or two Proverbs not written down. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. And here's a very straight one. He who hates correction is stupid. So there you got it, straight from the hip. There's something about learning from correction because we want to grow. We want to become more godly. And someone who lovingly tells us something we need to hear is a faithful friend who's giving faithful wounds that can be trusted. The enemy is flattery. Look at chapter 29, verse 5. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. The thing about flattery is that it's a trap. It's like spreading a net, because down the road it's going to trap somebody. Glossing things over when people need to hear something straight will trap them later on in life. Something they needed to hear once from you or from, you know, someone close to them, they had never heard, and it may trap them later. Or indeed, it may trap us, as someone says, why didn't you tell me that? Flattery looks lovely, but later on, it's a snare. Don't get me wrong, encouragement is great. That's different. That's building people up. But flattery glosses over. So consistency, honesty, and a third element of a good friendship is joy through wisdom. Look at chapter 27, verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. This is joy through wisdom. It's genuinely, incredibly strengthening to have the thought-out, transparent wisdom of someone who loves us. This word, earnest, It's really about having no hidden agendas, being genuine and transparent. As someone who tells us a truth we can trust. Somebody who pours out their wisdom from their heart. And there's something wonderfully joyful about that. It builds us up. It grows us. Occasionally, when it's an exchange, it can be very bracing. Look at chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's about growing and being molded and shaped by someone. Isn't that loving when that happens? All of these aspects of friendship, consistency, honesty, joy through wisdom. And there's a flip side. Those are the kind of friendships that work in God's world. Consistency, honesty, and joy through wisdom. We must look for that, and we must give that as well. We must be consistent, we must be honest, and we must give joy through wisdom. And then our friendships will be wonderfully sharpening for us as we grow in God's world. Because you see, we are living in God's world. All of Proverbs is shaped through this one thought to start with, that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom begins because we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. And you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verse 15? No longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. That kind of friendship works in God's world because Jesus is the greatest friend that we can have. He is consistent, he is honest, and we enjoy his joy through wisdom from him. So yes, be wise and be cautious in your friendships. Seek out those friendships that will help you grow. Be cautious, but seek them out. We need people to walk through this life. But remember, the greatest friend is Jesus himself, and he's the one who walks with us whatever it is we face. Let's pray. Indeed, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the friendship that you give us through the power of the Holy Spirit with the Lord Jesus. May we be good friends. May we be good friends to those who allow us into their sphere of influence. And may we be good friends to those that we allow into our sphere who influence us. May we be wisely cautious and yet also generously giving. And above all, Father, may we be good friends to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our friend. We thank you for his wisdom. We thank you in his name. Amen.